This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, October 7th. Well, we've got the wheat markets quietly higher yesterday, led by Minneapolis, which just, again, very quietly is pushing into new contract highs, where the winter wheats are kind of stuck in a fairly narrow range after a notable pullback, especially in Kansas City. We've had a day where the market stabilized yesterday, but Minneapolis, which never had the pullback in the first place, just hovering at contract highs, now yesterday slowly breaking through those highs and appearing to hold them into the close. So we see Minneapolis kind of regaining leadership of the wheat space as the winter wheats kind of chop around, following corn to some degree, which is following soybeans to some degree. But we're getting into the last half of harvest for corn. We should be seeing much of that harvest pressure dissipate, so we shouldn't see so much drag coming from the row crops. And we're going to be turning our focus into the southern hemisphere as far as not only winter wheat as we wrap up that growing season, but also for planting season for corn and soybeans in Argentina and Brazil. Most notably, we're watching a La Nina develop, and it's appearing to be a pretty strong one. That would suggest that in the next few months, we're going to see dryness develop across most of Argentina and southern Brazil. And that, of course, is going to come right during the main part of the growing season for corn and beans for both of those countries. I don't think it's going to really affect wheat all that much, although Argentina has run into a dry stretch over the last several weeks, and it looks like they'll wrap up their season, their winter wheat season, under dry conditions as well. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the top end of yields be shaved off of winter wheat in Argentina. But the other thing we're watching, of course, and what we've talked about a bit here, is that there is some GMO wheat that was planted in Argentina. And the concern is that it's going to get mixed with regular wheat and contaminate it, basically. Brazil is expected to make a decision on if they would allow that wheat into the country soon, on October 14th. Even if they do allow it, most likely they will require some sort of certificate stating that it is GMO-free. But that still doesn't mean that the individual or the private buyers would be interested in that wheat. My guess is that they will not, and they will certainly require certificates ensuring that it's GMO-free. So this is an interesting development in the wheat space. Could be huge. If Brazil rejects it, that is definitely a very bullish development. On the other hand, you know, what would Argentina do? They're going to have to try to find markets somewhere else that would dump a lot of wheat on the market. I'm sure that they would look to discount that wheat to get it moving, but that doesn't mean the buyers are going to take it. My guess is that the poor countries will take it, and the more the countries that have more requirements as far as quality would probably not. But either way, it will push demand from Brazil directly to Russia and the United States. And Russia is back in the game, as we saw with yesterday's sale to Egypt. But nevertheless, it would be a pretty bullish development coming out of that. But we'll just have to wait and see how that progresses. And speaking of Russian sales, Egypt bought 240,000 tons. They took 180 from Russia and 60 from Romania. They paid $320 FOB for that, which is up about $10 over their last purchase 3 weeks ago. That's the highest price Egypt has paid in 6 years for wheat, just to give some perspective on where this market is headed and has been. Cost insurance and freight was at $351. That is up $7 over their purchase here a few weeks ago. So ocean freight has actually slipped a little bit. There was plenty of talk that the freight costs would be notably higher, but that certainly was not the case yesterday. So, you know, the Egyptian purchases are really nice snapshots of where world price is. We know we can monitor week to week and day to day a lot of these countries' FOB offers, but the actual sales obviously are what set market tone. And we have seen a 27 cent bushel increase with this sale over the last 3 weeks, which is not huge, but it's a steady increasing move up. And it also, again, being at 6-year highs, is worth noting as well. So moving forward, We're looking for early October to be a seasonal high in wheat. I thought it would stretch into mid-October. Markets kind of struggling to regain some traction, at least in the winter wheats. Of course, Minneapolis, like I said, is just, quietly pushed into new contract highs. Kansas City had a nice rally last week. We stalled out at the previous contract high from mid-August, and the market had a notable correction, but the last day or so we've basically just traded sideways. I do think there's more to the upside here. I think the market's going to wait it out and see what Brazil decides. But the bull market in wheat is very firm. It's fully intact. We might get some stabilization or maybe even a pullback with the Southern Hemisphere harvest when it hits the pipeline. But I think that with the fundamentals, the overall fundamentals in wheat, we're still in an upward trajectory. I think there's plenty of room to move to the upside. We follow the seasonal patterns. We expect them to last a little bit longer than normal because it's that bullish momentum. And so we're headed into kind of a window where the market tends to stall out and move lower with the Southern Hemisphere harvest. But the questions around Argentine wheat are I think going to support the market. Australia's looking at a pretty decent sized crop. It won't be a record crop like last year, but it'll be a sizable one. That's primarily soft white wheat headed into the Asian market. So that would be more of a drag on soft red winter wheat. But the high protein hard wheats of spring wheat and hard red winter wheat, I think will be able to, withstand some of that drag, even from the Southern Hemisphere harvest. We can see that with Minneapolis just quietly pushing higher. It doesn't look like that market is ready to give up, and in fact, it certainly is showing us some signals that it has started that next leg up. So I think there's plenty of room to move to the upside there, and it's only October. I think the highs in spring wheat for old crop will come in early May as the market battles it out for acres across the northern plains. And we'll have to compete now with corn and soybeans, which had a huge battle for acres last spring, and I see that would continue this coming spring as well. So still a lot of dynamics going on. We look for some production problems in Argentina and southern Brazil for corn and beans. The northern part of Brazil and central look fine. They've had decent moisture, so the corn and bean crop coming out of there, that would be the first season corn crop, which primarily stays in country. It's that second season corn crop that is the biggest export supply from Brazil, and that was a disaster this past season. So we don't expect to see a lot of competition from Brazil. In fact, we've already seen their corn exports plummet, and they're starting to import corn. So we don't expect to see any competition in the corn market other than Ukraine, which is pretty minor competition. And that leaves the doors wide open for the U.S. corn exports well into next year, probably into about June of next year, before the Brazilian crop comes into play. And that's assuming they get a good second season corn crop. So a lot going on. I think the corn market has already found its seasonal low here a few weeks ago, and will start to be turning up once we get this harvest pressure behind us. That will help support wheat, and wheat, of course, on its own is its own bull market. So I think there's plenty of upside here. It'll just be a demand-driven bull market, which takes time to develop. You'll get your surges up, 2 or 3 days of good strong markets, and then you'll run into 3, 4, or 5 days of correction sideways, and then you get another surge. That's a typical type of price action for an uptrending bull or demand-led bull market. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.